660amtheanswer.com.
I am America. One voice, united we stand. I am America. One hope to heal our land. I will not give up on this fight. I will not fade into the night. I am America.
America's liberty is under assault, and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiatis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Well, hello and welcome, and thanks so very much for tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk. I'm so glad you've tuned in tonight. You know, I feel like I say this every week, but I'm going to say it again. We have a really stellar and packed show lined up for you tonight. And I just want to quickly tell you who will be on and what we'll be talking about tonight. And then I have a very special Speak Up for America segment, my first segment I always do. And so to tell you very quickly, we had an unusual scheduling set up this week. So we actually have three interviews in this first hour, the first little segment I'll be talking, but then we have, within the next hour, we'll have Professor Carol Swain, a Vanderbilt law professor who has a stellar and important story for everyone to understand about how this campus student protest mode that's taking place around the country is really harmful to academia, harmful to serious, important work on the campuses. And she's got a great story, Professor Carol Swain. She's actually going to be on early with us because her next stop tonight is to go on Fox News tonight with Judge Jeanine Pirro, who's also been a guest on our show. Then we have at 6:30, Anne Marie Murrell. She is the founder or the co-founder of Politichicks. She's an extremely popular grassroots leader, lovely, lively, and going to talk a lot about the San Bernardino shooting and what happened there and what we as Americans should expect the government to do in response to that. And then at 6:45, we have Jackie Pick calling in. She is a radio host herself. She has the Jackie Daly Show. She's an energy expert. And she's going to give us an update on what's been happening in the Paris UN conference that is occurring right now on climate hysteria or climate alarmism, or as they would call it, climate change. So she's going to give us a very informed and insightful update. So that's the first hour. In the second hour, I'm just thrilled to have my usual, two of my usual leading ladies join me. Tonight I have Dorinda Randall and Carrie Kellerman, and they'll be here in the second hour to talk a lot about these stories. But what I want to launch into for 5 minutes right now, or 6 minutes right now, is all of you listening will have the opportunity about an hour from now to listen to the President of the United States, Barack Obama. He is having a special news conference, a statement from the Oval Office. This is only, I think, the second time since he's been president that he did this Oval Office. He gave a remark to the Oval Office, and they are to deal with terrorism. They're to deal with the San Bernardino attack and fighting ISIS. And what, so that is the subject matter of his remarks tonight. And I urge you to stay tuned to this show for 2 hours. You can always listen to him later, but he is coming out at 7. And what I want to encourage you about that is this. I'm going to guess that most of you listening can recall 9/11, the real 9/11, when we were attacked at truly took America by surprise, the attacks of 9/11. And that night, we had President George W. Bush give a presidential statement from the Oval Office, much like President Barack Obama is doing tonight. And I want to urge you, if you do listen to President Obama, either tonight or hear him later in recording, to think about a couple of things. That it's just, we are at a true crisis point in America and the world, really, dealing with radical Islam. We saw the horrific attack in San Bernardino. The war engaged in on behalf of radical Islam against America has not stopped. In fact, it didn't start at 9/11. It started literally at the founding of Islam, and throughout the decades and centuries since that time, radical Islam has always been at war with Western civilization, with infidels, with people who don't want to comply with the Sharia and the whole Islamic extremist approach to life. And so on 9/11, when we were all just so shocked and angered and dismayed, and I can't even think of all the words, I want just to remind you of some of the tone of the message that George W. Bush took in talking to America. He spoke about, he said things like this: a great people have been moved to defend a great nation. Terrorist attacks can shake the foundation of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. Throughout his speech, and throughout a similar speech that we were able to hear previously when the Challenger disaster happened, we heard President Reagan speaking. Those speeches, what you hear from many presidents over the decades and centuries in America, you hear love of America, love and respect for the American people, love for the goodness of America. And I'm going to sit here and tell you, I have never heard anything like that from President Obama in his entire term of office. And I really think tonight, as we tune into the Oval Office speech, or when you listen to it later because you're going to stay and listen to this show for 2 hours, you will not hear that because it's not in his heart. It's not where President Obama is coming from. He does not have that love of the goodness and greatness of America and the American people, and he can't fake it. He has been, throughout his presidency, more critical than praising of the American people. He's just, and so what we're seeing right now is a time when America needs a leader to emerge. And that's what I want to turn to and talk with you for the rest of this. This is my Speak Up for America segment. We need leaders in America, leaders who are running for president, leaders who are in our currently in our Congress and Senate, speak of America in the way it should be spoken of, and the way that will inspire people to believe in our country again. And so I want to tell you a few things that have to be said. You know, right after the San Bernardino shootings, we had the most idiotic perpetual news cycles with newspapers and people on television and radio perplexed and couldn't figure out the motive for the shootings in San Bernardino. Why did that young Muslim couple arm up and go off and shoot up a bunch of their friends at a Christmas party? And it was as though the media actually meant it. They couldn't figure it out. But I actually think many Americans knew right away. As soon as you heard what happened, you thought, oh my gosh, it's another Islamic terror attack. And that's what I want to focus in on tonight very briefly in the remainder of this time with in this Speak Up for America moment. Just because those two young Muslims were not card-carrying members of Al-Qaeda, just because they didn't fill out their voter registration card and put supporter of ISIS or member of Al-Qaeda, we have to start getting wiser in understanding who our enemy is. And the enemy in America is radical Islam. It's not people. It's not all Muslims. But it is radical Islam. And radical Islam is conducted by people who've actually read the Quran, who know, for example, that in the Quran there are at least 109 verses telling Muslims to commit violence against infidels. That's what's in the Quran. We have to recognize they're at war with us, even if we're not at war with them. And we don't have to wait after finding out a Muslim committed a violent act in America to question and figure out, gee, I wonder who exactly it is, why they did this. Islam compels its followers to commit jihad. And I want to tell you something, folks. We're going to talk in the second hour about a wonderful thing that happened in Washington this past week at the Heritage Foundation, where a group of moderate Islamic leaders in America gathered together to form an organization to sign on the dotted line to say, we want to reform Islam in America. They actually challenged mosques in Washington to reform. This is a great thing. This is a light of hope. But whether they're successful or not, the president's job, the government's job, is to protect the American people from radical jihad. And I'll tell you something else. Over Thanksgiving break, we watched the movie Casablanca. And Casablanca is about World War II. It's about, you know, helping a guy get to America so he can help fight against the evil of the Nazis. Something you may not know about Casablanca, it was actually made in 1942. Let that sink in. The war was still happening. But even back then, We knew who the enemy was. We knew it was Germany. We knew it was the Nazis. And they made a movie in the middle of the war, assuming that everybody would get it and say, yes, of course, America's on the good side and the other guys are the bad guys. We've lost that in this battle with radical Islam because of political correctness, because of the weakness and poor leadership in this White House. We don't have that. America is right, and we must crush radical Islam. That's the message that needs to come from this president tonight. That's the message that should be coming from every single candidate who's running for president. And if you look at George Bush's speech, his battle then was figuring out who attacked America 9/11 and going after them. Our job today, this president's job and our government's job, is to figure out how do you ferret out radical Islam. And I got to say this, folks, you have to start by denouncing it. You should be hearing from President Obama tonight. In America, we will never permit jihad, we'll never permit Sharia, will never permit the caliphate. In America, you can't have those things. And if that's the kind of Islamic faith you want to practice, you need to leave. If you're here in America to live the American dream of freedom and liberty, you can stay. And maybe this group in Washington is going to be a springboard to hope to try to get the message out that that's what Islam is in America. There's no jihad, there's no Sharia, there's no caliphate, and those pieces need to be dropped off if we're going to reform and transform Islam and bring it into the modern century. Because otherwise we'll have more San Bernardinos. We'll have more attacks by people who are not yet hearing in the political, the social, the every kind of culture there is in America. You can't have this here. Islam itself, the ideology of Islam is the problem. And internally within Islam, maybe people can transform it and reform it and fix it. I don't know. But the job of the American government is to protect the American people so we don't have more and more San Bernardinos. I have tons of other great things to share with you about this attack in San Bernardino and the larger picture of how we defend America. I need to wrap up this segment of this show so we can go off to our break and come back after our break and talk with someone named Professor Carol Swain of Vanderbilt University. And I'll just tell you in exactly 10 seconds her story. She is a rags to riches American dream story of a black woman who grew up in a home so poor she was the second of 12 children, did not have shoes to go to school. And she became a Vanderbilt professor, and she's the subject of a politically correct attack by these spoiled college kids who think they don't have to hear anything they don't like. And she'll tell you her story when you come back after the break. This is Debbie Georgiatis, and ladies, can we talk?
AM, The Answer. Dennis Prager can always see beyond the headline.
You know that, was it the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal that published the poll? There is less faith and trust in government today than at any time since they've been taking these polls. But nobody puts two and two together. Gee, who might be the president for the last 7 years? That has nothing to do with it.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
America got started because some individuals were willing to speak up against King George. Political bravery then required they pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Today, political bravery requires speaking up for what is true and right on today's issues. We won't likely face violence, but we will face the weapons of mockery, name-calling, and scorn because of political correctness. Presidential candidate Ted Cruz said in one debate that it is offensive that those who believe people ought to come to this country legally are called anti-immigrant. He is right. I often say, speak up for America. What I mean is, speak up on the issues that matter and respond with strength and dignity to the bullies who try to shut down conversation. Speaking up matters because, left unchallenged, the belligerent silencers win. This is Debbie Georgiatis. Keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk, where we talk about how to speak up for America.
911, what is your emergency?
Please help me. My car, it's been stolen.
Did you know the FBI reports that every 40 seconds a vehicle is stolen in America? And if you think it's only the flashy sports cars, think again. Hey, Kurt Chase here for GuidePoint System. With over 25 years in the auto industry and now host of the Automotive Edge radio show, I've helped a lot of consumers find a replacement for their stolen car, truck, and SUV. And trying to replace that exact car with your insurance company? Well, let's just think for a second. A GuidePoint anti-theft recovery system or trying to replace your car. Not only is GuidePoint System an anti-theft recovery system, but also with the push of a button, connect to a live GuidePoint representative 24/7 for roadside assistance, emergencies, and directions. To learn more about GuidePoint, go to GuidePointSystems.com. That's GuidePointSystems.com. GuidePoint System, the only anti-theft recovery system endorsed by the Automotive Edge Radio Show.
You know, I'm not a genius about money. I love my credit cards, and they love me. I was using them as a source of income, and then I got behind in my payments and creditors were calling. I figured I had a problem and I didn't know how to deal with it. I heard about Trinity, so I called and talked to a counselor. In half an hour, we worked out a plan. Now I've got one easy monthly payment, a lower interest rate, and I'm getting out of debt.
If you're in an endless cycle of paying on credit card balances that never seem to go away, then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity will consolidate your accounts, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-758-5360. That's 1-800-758-5360. Call 1-800-758-5360.
Visit the Gift of Lights, the ultimate drive-through light park.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
At the Texas Motor Speedway, come enjoy over 2 million lights, Santa's Village, and the Reindeer Express. Santa will be there every day until Christmas Eve. Proceeds benefit 5 different charities, including 94.9 KLTY's Christmas Wish. For tickets, details, and more, go to KLTY.com.
The most wonderful time of the year.
660 AM, The Answer. 660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Can you hear us now?
Hello, and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. We love our new music so much, we hate to talk over Krista Branch with her singing about America, but I am welcoming to Ladies Can We Talk. I believe we have on the line Professor Carol Swain. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
I'm so glad. I will tell our listeners that just a few days ago, I spoke directly with Professor Swain. I've been trying to track her down because I've been following her story at Vanderbilt, and I told a little bit of it last week on the air, but I want to ask you, if you would, Professor Swain, I mentioned to our listeners that you wrote a piece in the, I think it was a Tennessean, but it was a local paper up at Vanderbilt in January following the Charlie Hebdo attacks, essentially saying perhaps America needs to be a little bit more cautious in dealing with Islam in America, monitoring Islam in America. And so, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on what you wrote. I thought it was stellar, but I hope you can share with our listeners what was the reaction at Vanderbilt.
I was shocked that the dean of students sent a letter to the student body. Now, this was because the Muslim Student Association complained, and so just almost immediately this email went to the entire student body. As a faculty member, I would never have known this had not one of my former students forwarded me the email. And this email condemned the opinion piece, encouraged students to engage in expressive action and or dialogue, and it offered counseling services. And the day after the email, there was a huge rally of students denouncing me as a bigot and a hater, and it got news coverage. But after that, I was harassed for months, and it just totally, I felt a betrayal by the university because I've never, ever known a university to use that email system for anything other than a physical threat, certainly not to rally students against an opinion where ideas were expressed.
Professor Swain, I will tell our listeners, I post everything on our Ladies Can We Talk Facebook page and also on our newly updated website, ladiescanwetalk.org. And I think I posted this piece, but I'm going to post it again. Several things related to your experience at Vanderbilt, because all of us are watching these things, I think, to most people's memory, maybe it started at Mizzou, but the kind of student agitation growing again in America. And it seems to me a sense of entitlement that these students are really saying, I don't have to hear any opinion that might upset me, that I might disagree with. Is that part of this problem at Vanderbilt?
Well, I mean, some social scientists have come up with this concept of microaggressions. And that's little acts that people may do that seem innocent, but behind those acts are supposed to be racism or sexism or some kind of ism. And so, you know, students on campuses are being coddled to the point now where faculty members are expected, you know, to be overly protective and sensitive. And so you're supposed to give a trigger warning if you might say something that might offend a person. I've never been into that. I've always pushed back against political correctness. Today it's been taken to a whole new level where students believe that they are entitled not to be made to feel uncomfortable at the university by anyone. So any idea, any book that makes them feel uncomfortable, then you might get a backlash.
You know, Professor Swain, I wish you could do this show sometime in person, because my two co-hosts for the second hour are sitting here and we're all just kind of rolling our eyes at what is going on in college campuses in the sense of, I don't ever have to tolerate hearing something that might upset me. I have to be given a safe space to hide from opinions. And the backdrop of this in universities is that universities are generally speaking, very left-wing oriented, and you are probably an anomaly in many ways. I mean, you're African-American, you're Christian, and you're conservative. So that's kind of, that's got to be a shocking thing for students to deal with.
My
upsetting.
University, Vanderbilt, in 2011, it imposed a policy that eventually resulted in about half of the Christian student groups having to leave campus, in that they're no longer recognized, they don't have the rights of other groups, they cannot advertise or have a table at a student fair. And so my university has always had a hostility towards Christians. And I am publicly Christian, I'm publicly conservative, but my views are just traditional Judeo-Christian views.
Can you turn her mic on? Carrie's mic on? Dan? My mic's not on.
Hi, Carol.
There you go.
My name's Carrie.
Hi, how are you?
Just fine. Thank you for coming on the show tonight. I have a question for you. You talked about a sense of entitlement from the student body. Traditionally, college has the purpose of college was to prepare students for a job and for the real world. If these students feel entitled not to be offended by anyone on the university campus, do you feel that? Where do you feel that comes from? Is that because they're paying to be on the college campus, or is there another answer for that?
Well, I mean, it's coming from certain departments, from other academics, and just if you dig down far enough, you get cultural Marxism, and the whole thing is about trying to destroy the society we have so we can create something that's utopian. And I think that some of the faculty that they are using the students, and the students are being manipulated, they're certainly not preparing them to live in the real world.
That is for sure. And I'm going to jump in and say, Professor Swain, you also told me on the phone, we were talking about the idea that, you know, the way college administrators react to student demands is, I mean, maybe you can...
It's irresponsible, I believe, and it's cowardly. And in many ways, all the students have to do is shout, and they get what they want, regardless of whether it's something that's good for them. And so these spoiled, I mean, I've called them spoiled brats before. They don't like to be called that, but that's what they are. All
that's
they have
offensive.
To do is kick and scream, and they get what they want, whether it's good for them or not. And it's certainly not good for them to have so much power that university officials will respond in a way to implement policies and programs that are against the long-term interests of the university.
Exactly. And you know what else I want to have you share with our listeners, too? There was a petition drive later by some students, and I saw one description online that was talking about granola-eating, gluten-free, spoiled, wealthy, white kids whining. But is there a petition drive currently that concerns you and your role at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, actually, you know, I was on CNN yesterday, and it was very focused on Islam and political correctness, and I didn't go into the petition, but I'm scheduled to teach in January. Well, maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had a student contact me to tell me that he and other students were monitoring my Facebook page. And if I continued to post articles on my public Facebook page that offended, and he had a whole slew of groups, including the Alphabet group, that if I continued to do that, that they would file a petition to have me fired. And me, being the personality that I am, as soon as I finished reading his message, I immediately searched to find the perfect article to post. Sure, to offend some of those groups.
You go.
The student followed through with his threat. Initially, the petition I have been told was to have me first fired. Then it went through many iterations: permanently suspended, then temporarily suspended, forced diversity sensitivity training,
now,
as it stands, they want the entire university to take sensitivity training. But the Vanderbilt University students, some of the ones that write for the Hustler, immediately called for me to be stripped of my tenure when I published the Islam piece. And so there's clearly a sense that my views don't belong on the university campus. And I've had the very unusual situation. Again, these unusual things happen to me. The chancellor of the university, as well as the provost, they have sent out things distancing themselves, saying that, you know, Professor Swain, her ideas don't represent, you know, the ideas of the university or the university community. And so they take a moral judgment on me and what I do. But she has a right, you know, to free speech. So they do this thing where they first condemn me, and then they say, but then, you know, she has a right to be here. They don't do that for liberal professors who are involved in controversies. And so a lot of the harassment that's happened, I believe it's because of the way the university has singled me out to take a moral tone that they don't usually take when they're dealing with liberals.
Professor Swain,
they never take the moral tone. They would say they will immediately defend a liberal professor's academic freedom. But in the case, in my case, the university has pretty much, I would say, sided with the students, and in one particular case, encouraged the students to protest.
Professor Swain, I wish we had 2 hours to talk with you. I mentioned to our listeners actually before you came on, I know you are zipping off to actually be tonight on Fox News with Judge Jeanine Perot, and so I want to be sure we don't keep you too long, but could you tell our listeners, because you have a website out there, could you tell our listeners how to find out more about your story? Because I want to encourage our listeners to follow this story, because it really is a story of about American academia gone way haywire.
Well, the best place where I post a lot is my public Facebook page, Professor Carol M. Swain. And then my blog is BeThePeopleTV.com. And it's a blog, not a TV show. But I do frequently comment about current events. And I am someone that believes that we have to exercise our First Amendment rights, and if we don't stand up for our nation and our constitution, mm-hmm. we'll look up one day and we'll have neither.
Okay, they're all saying well said. You're saying the message of this show: did we have to speak up for our country and the Constitution and all the rights that are the undergirding the foundation of our country? Professor Swain, I want to have you on again the show again. I appreciate your calling in so very much. Thank you for your story, and thank you for being brave and speaking up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Bye. Thank you. Okay, folks, we're going to zip off to our break because we have another guest coming on right away at the next hour and next right after our break. This is Anne Marie Murrell, who is the founder of Politichicks. She's very high energy and lots of fun, and she's conservative, and she's just going to be a lot of fun to talk to. So come back after our break to Anne Marie Murrell, and this is Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgettis, Dorinda Randall, and Carrie Kelman.
Something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show. Mornings 7 to 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
Hi, this is Natalie Grant. Join me, Charlotte Gamble, and Bonnie Curry January 21st at Northwood Church in Keller for Dare to Be. Dare to Be is a fully integrated program with worship, teachings by my friend Charlotte, and a few special moments we've created to recognize local women and empower attendees to dare to follow the call.
Dare to Be, January 21st at Northwood Church in Keller. Get your tickets now at itickets.com or for group tickets, go to getgrouptickets.com.
Hi, fellow Americans. Liberty.
Liberty.
This is your Liberty Minute.
Liberty Minute.
With Debbie Georgettis.
American liberty includes freedom of religion and freedom of speech. But these building blocks of America are in sharp conflict with Sharia, the Islamic law, which makes church and state one and the same, and then imposes Islamic doctrine as the only law, a law which denies freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Americans are right to want to preserve American-style liberty for all Americans, and that's the idea behind ALAC, American Law for American Courts. ALAC is especially important in protecting women who otherwise could be subject to Sharia, which treats women as second-class citizens in matters such as divorce, division of property, and child custody. ALAC is a right idea for America and for Texas. Why would anyone want to deny American women American liberty? This is Debbie Georgettis, and this was your Liberty Minute on Sharia.
One of the things about winter is our air conditioning bill goes down quite a bit, but our heating bill goes up quite a bit. So you start looking at the balance and realize that you're still spending $300 or $400 or $500 a month on utilities. You're giving that away, and at the end of the year, you've spent $6,000 and you have absolutely nothing to show for it. You know what you could do? You could put in some energy efficient replacement windows. One of the things that our windows do is pay for themselves in 3 to 5 years. We all want to stay more comfortable. We all want to live in a nice environment. One of the ways to do that is quality replacement windows. Hi, I'm Dave Trainer of The Window Connection. I'd love the opportunity to come out, look over your home, show you what some options might be, bring you samples. We offer 10 different manufacturers and would love to show you what new replacement windows can do on your home.
Call The Window Connection for an estimate at 972-620-1994. That's 972-620-1994. Or go online to thewindowconnection.net.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, you should give Physicians Mutual Insurance Company a call. 1-800-200-9887. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. That's right, any dentist you want. Call in the next 10 minutes and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-200-9887. That's 1-800-200-9887. 1-800-200-9887.
Our sister station, KLTY, presents Pink Impact. From all over the nation, women are coming together to laugh, to cry, to celebrate. On May 13th and 14th, it's time to join together at the Fort Worth Convention Center for Pink Impact. Featuring best-selling author, Bible teacher, and star of the hit movie War Room, Priscilla Shire, with Christine Kane, Charlotte Gamble, and more. Worship with Carrie Jobe.
We are the light of the world.
For tickets, go to pinkimpact.com. That's pinkimpact.com.
You can listen on the go. Find us on iHeartRadio. 660 AM. The Answer.
866-660-5759 is the number to call with your question or comment. Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM The Answer.
Hello there. Welcome back, Ladies Can We Talk. As I always say, we hate talking over our great new music, but we have a great guest on this hour, and I want to have as much time as we can because we have another guest coming. This schedule got odd tonight. We have another guest at 6:45, so I'm going to jump right in. We have on the line, I do believe, Anne Marie. Is your last name pronounced Murrell?
Murrell.
Yes. Murrell. Hi there.
Hi.
So glad we have you on. You know what? I told our listeners, I've mentioned other times in the show how I think the energy on the among women politically in America is on the conservative side. I just think American women are waking up, and I just want to hit two subjects with you. I'd love to have you tell our listeners about what Politichicks is all about. You're the co-founder of that and why you did it and what it's all about. And then I want to turn and talk about our president's address tonight and what he should be saying in light of San Bernardino. But tell us about Politichicks. Yeah.
Well, Politichicks began as a web TV show, and it was Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live and me and two other women. And it was a lot of fun, but we knew that we needed to do something more. And so eventually, ultimately, it turned into a website more than anything else, and I turned it into a national movement. And I now have writers across the United States, and lots of contributors like Daniel Greenfield, Frank Gaffney, and Robert Spencer has written for me. So, and also Dr. Gina Loudon, Morgan Brittany, and I talk across the United States about women and activism and encouraging people to step up.
Well, I know you're a very much of a grassroots activist, and that is, right to now, where I'm sitting in my studio, I have two of my leading ladies here who are on usually with the second hour, but they're here. And we just that's our middle name. We are just grassroots activists, serious conservatives. And, the mantra of this show is all issues are women's issues, because I'm so frustrated with the idea that women are talked to by the left as though they only have a few issues on their minds that can sway them and sway their vote. And there's just so much of great importance happening in America. And so try to get women on board. I want to turn and talk about, we talked about in the beginning of the show, the San Bernardino horrific Islamic attack. And President Obama has announced he's speaking from the Oval Office tonight to tell America, essentially, speak about how he's going to fight terrorism, how he's going to fight ISIS. So you're a grassroots activist. You're a leader in grassroots. What do you think the American people really want to hear from him?
Well, I am at my parents' house. I'm visiting my parents' house deep in the heart of East Texas, about to watch his address. I've taken up a whole bunch. I'm drinking Pepto-Bismol, and I've taken half a bottle of aspirin to prepare, because I'm afraid that the way he's going to talk about fighting ISIS is gun control in America, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. How can we fight ISIS if they're trying to take our guns away from us in America? It's really imbecilic. I'm afraid that's the direction he's going to go.
I am too. And we were talking in the first half an hour ago or so about the Oval Office. It's a rare thing to give a presidential address in the Oval Office, and George Bush did it in 9/11. And it's such a different flavor about America. The tone of George Bush at that time was to say, essentially, this is a good and great country and good people, and we're strong and we're going to fight our way through this. He just radiated love of America and love of the American people. And I don't ever hear that from President Obama. What do you think about that?
Yeah, not at all. It's the absolute polar opposite. And I guarantee you something that we're probably going to hear is going to be scolding and telling us, now don't jump to conclusions, and don't be mean to Muslims, and I know all of you Islamophobes out there are gonna just run off the deep end, so let's take away our guns and that'll help control the shooting. That's the thing that I know he's gonna say it, and then I'll throw up.
We know. I favored and retweeted something Frank Gaffney. He's been a guest on our show a few times. He's a good friend and love him. He was making the point about San Bernardino that he didn't say all these words, but the media spent several days struggling trying to determine a motive as though they couldn't really figure it out. And we're saying it's like if they couldn't find a membership card in the Al-Qaeda local branch, they could not connect Islam with these terrorists. And I just think Americans are sick up to here, up to their eyebrows, of this failure to identify the real problem.
Right. And that's one thing. That another thing I'm highly, strongly encouraging people, when we vote in 2016, we've got to think of leaders that are not afraid to call Islamic terrorists exactly what they are,
right,
and who clearly understand the threat that all of us are under right now. And we are absolutely under threat. This is stealth jihad. And Frank, I'm grateful to Frank for introducing us to
me. Yes, me too.
Frank Gaffney has been talking about stealth jihad for many, many years. He's been warning us. They don't need to fly planes into buildings. This is how they create fear and terrorism. They can kill clusters of people in unexpected places. And if the Obama administration continues trying to get us to look the other way instead of looking around us, that's the most dangerous thing that anyone could do to American citizens. Another thing that was really bizarre, because I was covering the whole San Bernardino shootout while it was happening, the fact they had physical descriptions, and I actually posted it on Politichicks. I had a police report. I found it on the, it was through the San Diego Union Tribune, and I posted it as soon as it happened, and it said they are looking for three people of Middle Eastern origins. They wiped that clean soon after. And instead of the link that I provided, it was an AP subject that had no description whatsoever.
Wow.
Now think about that. This was an active shooting. These people, they knew that these people were armed and dangerous and possibly had bombs. And yet they were not giving physical descriptions to people who were in their houses hiding in closets. How dare they?
Mm-hmm.
Just to protect. And I never once heard the word Middle Eastern. I was watching every local California television station. Mm-hmm. I was watching cable, everything. No one said anything mm-hmm. about the description of these people. And that is evil.
Yeah. It is evil. And, you know, Amory, it's so far past political correctness. I think there's, you know, political correctness and caution, how you speak. People are sick of that. But this is like a conscious agenda. We are not going to cause concern about Islam unless we're absolutely positively forced to do it. It's really an attack against the American people's liberty and safety to conduct media that way, conduct politics that way.
Well, you know, I think the most telling thing out of this entire story was their neighbor that said, I saw suspicious activity. I saw them, you know, at midnight with Middle Eastern people coming and going and deliveries and strange things. But I was too afraid of profiling to do anything about it. That is the goal of this administration. They have conditioned people to be so afraid. While they say, you know, if you see something, say something, but not unless it's a Christian white guy trying to plant, you know,
right,
to plant heroin.
Right.
In that case, make things up.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you see something like Clock Boy, that was where you know, if a kid walks into a school with a suitcase with wires hanging out of it, don't say anything, because then he gets an invitation to the White House. That's where we are right now. People are afraid of their shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I'm sorry, but this is, it happened throughout history. This is the way they do this. This is the way the government takes control. I sound like a tinfoil hat person.
No, you do not.
Well, they create fear amongst the people, and they make them think only the government can save you. And then give us your guns and we'll protect you. Then we're done. It's over.
Mm-hmm. Amory, you are 1,000% right. We're all nodding along and wishing you were here in the studio with us, because we have a lot of fun here doing the show. But I sadly, we have to keep these segments pretty short tonight. I want to thank you so much for calling in. If you want to share with our listeners and name it your website, they can go and learn more about Politichicks.
Absolutely. Politichicks.com. And I have a book, What Women Really Want, written with Dr. Gina Loudon and Morgan Brittany and me. And we're going to be back in Dallas January 22nd.
Mm.
We're going to be, Morgan and I are going to be speaking there with Evan Sayet. So I hope I can meet you in real life. I know Frank's going to be doing an event, and I'd love to see y'all next time I'm out here.
I hope so, too. Look forward to meeting you. Thank you so much for calling in. We were speaking just now and hanging up with Anne-Marie Morrell of Politichicks. This is Debbie Georgiadis and Carrie Kellerman and Drinda Randall. Ladies, can we talk on 660 AM The Answer? Come back after the break, and we have a great guest coming on after the break to update us on the UN Paris Conference on Climate Hysteria. Come back after the break.
The end.
answer. 660amtheanswer.com.
Hey, is everybody ready for the last Republican presidential debate of 2015? More importantly, are we ready to get back together again for another 660 AM The Answer watch party?
I know I'm ready, JD. We've had a great time gathering with friends to evaluate how all the candidates are doing. Do Trump and Carson lead the way? Are Cruz and Rubio gaining? Is there room for anybody to crack that final four? So many questions, and we'll get some answers Tuesday night, December 15th.
Yes, we will, Mark. You know the place. Studio Movie Grill, 75 in Spring Valley. Same low price, too. $10. Go to 660amtheanswer.com right now. Get your tickets. Then get there early for the best seats. Mark Davis and I will host a night of debate action. It'll be fun.
We've got the big screen, the wireless mic, a great menu. All we need is you. Last debate watch party of the year. Tuesday night, December 15th, Studio Movie Grill, 75. In Spring Valley. Get tickets now at 660amtheanswer.com.
Make sure you don't miss the last debate watch party of the year, hosted by Mark Davis and John David Wells. Sponsored by AAA Auger Plumbing Services.
My book and radio show have the same name. Ladies, Can We Talk? The reason I wrote the book, do the radio show, and speak to groups around the country is that I want to inspire people to remember again why America is great. Not just to say that America is great, but to understand why. My job on this show is not only to talk about the issues and events of the day and interview interesting people, but to connect the dots between how we solve today's issues and the impact they'll have on our future. I do this show to persuade listeners that real answers to the challenges we face can only be found by uniting around ideas like American-style liberty, talking less about political labels and identity politics, and more about the uniquely American identity is the only path to greater unity among Americans. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I hope you'll keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 a.m. The Answer. We talk truth about America.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 9911 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 9911.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-472-3407. That's 1-800-472-3407. 1-800-472-3407. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
660 AM, The Answer. 660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer. Can
you hear us? Hello, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. Okay, these... Dorinda and Carrie are over here singing along with our music. We love our new music with Krista Branch. It's great. We are in this last segment of our first hour. And as I mentioned at the start of the show, we just have a really packed first hour with guests. And coming on air right now with us is Jackie Pick. Hi, Jackie.
Hello, Debbie. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Doing great this evening.
Okay. Well, I will tell you that we... for a variety of reasons, the schedule got really jammed. And so I want to talk with you now, but I'm hoping, I'll just plant the seed right now, I'm hoping you might be able to hold on over the break and continue into our second hour, because there's a couple of things, several things I want to talk with you about. Are you able to do that?
I sure can.
Oh, yay. Okay. So now I can slow down. I was otherwise going to have to speak in hyperspeed. Okay. Well, first I should say Jackie Pick is a friend. She is the host of a radio show, The Jackie Daily Show, and she also works for the NCPA, which is one of our favorite organizations, a political think tank, whose mantra is America's think tank. Jackie, quickly before we get into this whole UN conference, what do you do at NCPA?
So I'm the Executive Vice President, Chief Operating Officer there. So I just oversee the day-to-day operations. And I also head up the energy practice, which is very unusual. So because I came in with that background, they asked me if I would take that pillar of NCPA, and that's what I do when I'm not paying bills and payroll.
Okay. And then would you also, before we launch, and we really are going to talk about the UN conference, but tell our listeners, if you would, about your radio show.
So I've got a show. It's on Glenn Beck's The Blaze and also on SiriusXM and iTunes. The show is all about energy and primarily fossil fuels, simply because that's where the controversy is. That's where the action is. And I find that's pretty red meat. That's the kind of stuff people really want to know about. So I basically try to make it conversational so that even if you don't know anything about energy, you can listen to the show and understand what's going on and why you should support U.S. energy production robustly.
I like that, robustly. That's a good word. Well, I know, Jackie, you're a lawyer by background, but you also have quite a bit of background in the energy world, too. So you're really you're an expert with respect to traditional energy, fossil fuels, and your show is just a tremendous source of information for people wanting to understand all the kind of pros and cons of the alternative energy and new green energy, right?
It is. We do talk about green energy, and although my family had a background in fossil fuels and nuclear, I actually have some experience doing solar deals. So I know something about that, too. I will tell you, I'm very clearly 1,010% pro-fossil fuels and pro-fracking and all that kind of thing. I put most of my focus there because, frankly, that is going to be our future for decades to come, no matter what else is going on. I mean, there are 10,000 brilliant people, I'm sure, out there working on renewable solutions. But right now, even if we all were on board and we started today and tried to roll out the entire world to be renewable, it would take about 20 years to do that, to change the infrastructure and so forth. So that's why it's kind of visionary in my eyes, having worked in it myself. So I really talk probably 80% about fossil fuels.
You know, we've done several shows, actually, on Ladies Can We Talk, about energy and understanding the just importance of fossil fuels and how really fossil fuels transformed the world from being it transformed transportation and therefore the ability to get things to people around the world, get medications and food, and just it lifted the standard of living for people around the world once we developed and refined fossil fuels and the ability to transport goods and services. It was a transformative thing for humans to figure out is how to use fossil fuels for energy, which I know you know. But I want to turn and talk about the UN conference. So right now, President Obama, I guess he's back, but he was over in Paris at the UN climate conference. And I think there's a great deal of trepidation on the part of many people in America about what is he going to commit to and what is it going to do to us? So I guess I wanted to start with basically there was a report out of Paris that some draft agreement was on the table being discussed. Do you have any, I don't know if you've been able to follow it closely enough, but what is it? What's the draft agreement look like? And what's it going to do to America if we went down that road?
Well, the only good news is that the draft agreement is mostly aspirational, as is just about everything that comes out of the United Nations. So the first thing is don't panic, because actually most of what goes on there is never implemented, never fulfilled. The countries never come through on their obligations. It's kind of just an opportunity for a lot of good press. I mean, when you stop and think about, good in their eyes, you stop and think about the fact that the UN Human Rights Commission was traditionally led by countries like Iran, Libya, Sudan.
Good point. You know, right?
So in real life, You know, most of what goes on at the UN is a whole lot of talk and photo ops and things like this. So the first week was aspirational. The truth is nothing got worked out of any consequence. None of the hard issues, which is when are we committing to doing what and who's paying for it, of course. Those are the things that no one came to agreement on. So this next week is being hailed as a week of compromise. And again, that too is aspirational because really no one, everyone's okay with the talk. Almost no one is in agreement about who's paying for all of this. So except Barack Obama, of course, who's going to volunteer us to do that.
I was going to say, I think we're paying for anything he comes up with. You know, we should probably do so we stay on track. Because I'm so grateful that you could come back after the break because I'm trying to watch the clock here and be do the right thing with our break time. We're talking with Jackie Pick, who is she's with NCPA. She also is a radio talk show host herself, the Jackie Daly Show. She's an expert on fossil fuel energy, and we're going to turn after this top of the hour break to talk about the UN Conference on Climate Change, or as I've been calling it, the Conference on Climate Hysteria. But I do want to talk about just the cost and what's going to mean to America. And so if you can hold on and come back after our break, this is Debbie Georgiadis and Dorinda Randall and Carrie Kelman, ladies, can we talk on 660 AM The Answer. Come back after our break.
Dennis Prager can always see beyond the headline.
You know that, was it the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal that published the poll? There is less faith and trust in government today than at any time since they've been taking these polls. But nobody puts two and two together. Gee, who might be the president for the last 7 years? That has nothing to do with it.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
This is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk? Have you noticed the new music on my show? I'm so excited about it, I can hardly stand it. The singer in the music, the bumper music for my show, is named Krista Branch, K-R-I-S-T-A, and the word branch. And her website is KristaBranch.com. And the reason I'm telling you this is that her music so captures the spirit of America, so captures the message of this radio show that I really want to support her. So she's not paying for this ad. I'm just telling you that if you want to have fabulous, patriotic, inspiring, upbeat music at any event at your home, buy the music that Krista Branch records. Go to KristaBranch.com and you can order her music. I'll tell you my three favorites. I Am America, Remember Who We Are, and Can You Hear Us Now? Fabulous words, fabulous music. This is music that will lift everyone up and make you so happy to be American.
Hi, this is Natalie Grant. Join me, Charlotte Gamble, and Bonnie Curry, January 21st at Northwood Church in Keller for Dare to Be. Dare to Be is a fully integrated program with worship, teachings by my friend Charlotte, and a few special moments we've created to recognize